Welcome to the Speaker's Practice and our Friday Forum. Hi, I'm Adrienne McLean, the founder of the Speaker's Practice. The Friday Forum is for business people. This is a free 30-minute session where you will meet amazing business people who have experience in a wide variety of topics. You will hear fabulous approaches from experts in their field. Today we have our guest speaker, Di Dupre from Innovation Station. Di is a marketing strategist and a business advisor who serves as a strategic thinking partner to growing businesses. She is the founder of Innovation Station and previously founded, grew and sold Design Street Proprietary Limited. Di is also a qualified trainer and facilitator who runs workshops on sales and marketing. Along with this, Di is available for speaking opportunities. Hi, Di. It's great to have you here.
Hello, Adrienne. Thank you for inviting me along.
Di, this whole area of building a business tribe is crucial and can make or break a business. We're so fortunate to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Adrienne. Yes, building a raving fan culture is really important to small businesses because creating that a tribe kind of mentality of people who are promoting your business for you creates momentum and positive energy and takes your business forward. But the important thing to know about a raving fan culture is that it starts from within the organisation. We can't expect people on the outside, our customers, to be raving fans if the people within the organisation itself aren't raving fans as well.
Ask the first question of what are the steps to create a raving fan culture?
I think the first step to creating a raving fan culture is to really understand who the stakeholders are in your business. So we're all quick to nominate clients and customers as stakeholders, but as I mentioned, referred to before, there are other stakeholders, the team that works in the business, the suppliers, the community, if it's a bigger business, shareholders, and also the family of small business owners. They're all stakeholders in that business. And so the objective is to be aware of all of those stakeholders and what their interests are in the business and what their values are so that you can build a common purpose. So establishing whether the values of various stakeholders are values such as excellence, or ingenuity, or integrity, a great idea to brainstorm those values and then use that information to build a common purpose amongst all of your stakeholders and then add some uniqueness to the experience that those stakeholders have in dealing with your organisation so that it's a unique, exciting experience that creates a culture that's and an experience that they want to repeat.
So that moves us into the next question. Is it important how do the clients and potential clients perceive the organisation? So is this important, or are the clients only interested in the end result of what the company does?
Look, I think that people are certainly interested in the end result, and that's a rational reason why they might purchase from your business. But it's always more than that. There's always a rational and also an emotional element to a sale. And so getting to grips with what the emotional content is of that transaction is really important because that's where you build common values and a culture in your organisation and amongst your clients. And so this concept that you raised, Adrienne, about the perception of your organisation is really important because we as business owners have an idea of how we would like our businesses to be perceived, but that's not necessarily how our customers actually perceive our organisation. So the one of the first steps is really to do a bit of a reality check on how do your various stakeholders, including your clients, actually perceive your organization. And you can establish that through doing surveys, on online surveys or questionnaires or focus groups, or even just having a one-to-one chat with some key customers and asking the right questions. So to be really honest about how your organization is perceived helps you to establish what the gap is between how you'd like it to be perceived to create that raving fan culture. Mm-hmm. So when you know where you are now and where you'd like to be, you can work out what change is required and how far there is to go to get to the desired end result.
Mm-hmm. Is that really straightforward, or is it quite difficult to get the real perception of the organization?
I think it's a little more difficult than it might seem on the surface, and that's because we're biased as small business owners. We put our blood, sweat and tears into our businesses, and we're so close to them that we can't see the wood for the trees. So being open-minded and being able to listen to what other people say about our organisation and what their experience is quite important. One of the techniques that I get my clients to do is to do brainstorming, so to sort of get a big, clear piece of paper and just start drawing a key client on it and writing down notes about what they've said and what they do, and just starting to build up a visual picture of how that client interacts with your business and what their values might be and what their experience of your organization might be. Sometimes when we get out of the rational brain and start drawing and using a blank piece of paper, not necessarily in a linear way, but scribbling all over it, sometimes we tap into more of that emotional content than we otherwise would.
Can you give me an example of this situation of having a look at the perception of an organisation?
Oh yeah, well if we take a brand, for example, one that we all know, let's have a look at the brand Jeep. Jeep have been very successful in creating a raving fan culture, and all of their ads sort of build on this sense. It's a kind of a subculture that builds of people who want to push limits and live life to the full, and of course the Jeep vehicles enable them to do that. So Jeep is a great example of a brand that's really built a raving fan culture that goes beyond the practical, functional, rational attributes of their product.
Their advertisement's one of the cleverest stuff ever seen. Everybody, everybody knows about Jeep.
That's right, and I think that's because they really understand the values of their audience. They've really tapped into the values of that particular customer group, and they've aligned their product with it and extended that subculture. So that their ads are entertaining and they kind of exclusive. They kind of have a sense of, you know, we're part of this group that likes to be a little bit anarchic and have fun and get off-road. And people want to be a part of that. And so they buy that particular brand of motor vehicle as a descriptor of who they are as a person.
So that moves us into this next question about the customer experience. This is crucial.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about experience really in purchasing today, because the marketplace is so competitive and products and services converge in the sense that the features and benefits become more and more similar between one brand and another. And so what you're really wanting to do to get some uniqueness is to build an experience that's different to the others and that has qualities that strike a chord with your customer audience and build value. So if your customers have an experience buying from you that is unique and that makes them feel part of something, they have a very positive experience and they want to come back and do it again. Build loyalty in that way. So, I mean, this can be done in simple ways like thank you cards and acknowledging customers in unique ways or setting up special events. Really, like the world's your oyster with how you might think about making your customer experience unique and pleasurable to your audience. I always use the example of my dentist, who not only keeps great notes on his customers' dental situation, but he also writes notes on the conversation that he has with you. And it's amazing, you can go back to see him a whole 12 months later and he'll pick up the conversation where you left it off the year before, and he'll remember what you were talking about and who you were talking about and ask about it. And it's nobody enjoys going to the dentist, but when your dentist treats you as a person and is interested in you and the people around you, it certainly can become a much more pleasant experience.
Yes, enjoyable as well as doing the necessary part.
That's correct. And, you know, that's why I certainly will drive for 20 minutes to go back to the same dentist I've been to for the last 20 years, because he remembers me and he knows me, and there's a personal connection.
Yeah, well, that brings us on to this photo. People do business with people because they choose to, not because they have to. We can always find others doing the same thing or selling the same product. It's a personal connection that makes the difference. So that fits in with what you're saying about this culture that's important to build.
That's exactly right, because it's those positive emotions that really create the differentiation between one product and another, the purchase of one product or service and another.
That moves us into the next question, really, which is, what are the benefits of a raving fan culture?
Yes, well, that's a very good question. And the first most obvious answer is repeat business. So loyalty and repeat business are great benefits, because when you have people that enjoyed the experience of buying from you and want to come back again, that saves the expense of advertising and seeking out new customers. They also tend to give referrals when they've had a positive experience, so you gain that advantage. A raving fan culture also helps you to retain staff, because if they're a part of that group that feels that they're doing something different and special, they want to keep working there, which is great, and that saves time and costs on recruiting and training new staff. And overall, I think the concept of a raving fan culture is something that creates momentum in your business, that carries you forward. It creates a positive energy and makes it fun for people to interact and work for you. And it makes it fun for you as a business owner as well. You just get to reap the rewards of building something that's really a great organization to be a part of.
Sounds a great approach and something that businesses just need to be working on all the time.
Absolutely.
So, Di, that moves us into a fifth question, which I ask all our guests here at the Friday Forum, is that, as a business owner, what's your advice about promoting a business by speaking?
Yes, Adrian, I think creating speaking opportunities is the perfect way to promote a business. Because speaking gives potential customers the opportunity to sample you and your business, especially for people in the professional services industries where your customers are buying your expertise and the way that you think and your values and how you approach problems. By hearing you speak, customers can test the way you think and see if they like you and see if they're able to establish a successful working relationship with you. It's really about is there a marriage of minds or not?
Mm-hmm.
And in taking up speaking opportunities, you get to test that with a number of different potential customers at once.
So would you like to explain and introduce the Innovation Station and what your business offers?
Yeah, thank you, Adrienne. The Innovation Station is a business that helps small businesses to grow. So we generally work with businesses that are in a takeoff phase where they need some professional strategic marketing and also some business coaching, because the success or not of a small business depends on the business owner and their approach and their attitude and their drive to taking the business forward. So that's our speciality, is in taking small businesses that are ready to take that leap into the next stage of growth and helping them achieve that.
It's always a challenge in the startup phase, so I'm sure that they much appreciate your services there.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yes. Well, anyway, thank you, Di, for your time and your expertise in describing how to build a raving fan culture. You've gone into it in a lot of detail, and it gives us ideas and approaches to follow and the importance of working towards this. So thank you very much for your time and expertise today.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, that concludes our Friday Forum, and have a great week, and we look forward to you joining us on the 13th of June. We have Phil Lee, the Game Changer, speaking on sales. So thanks for attending today. Thanks to Di Dupre, and we look forward to hearing from you and seeing you next time. Bye for now.